If you would turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, great section on post-resurrection appearances of Jesus during those 40 days after Easter. Looking at the Emmaus Road story, starting with verse 13. Verse 13, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked alongside of them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Jesus asked them, "What are you talking about, discussing together as you walk alone?" As if he didn't know. They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, saying, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know what things have happened in these past days?" Don't tell me Jesus doesn't have a sense of humor. Jesus said, "What things?" he asked. "Oh, about Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him, but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day that all of this took place. And in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found out that it was just as the women had said it would be, but they didn't see Jesus." And then Jesus upbraided him, these guys. "How foolish, how stupid you are." That you can translate it stupid. "How slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Didn't the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with the law of Moses, the books, and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on, like the video, as if he was going farther, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So Jesus went to stay with them. Jesus upbraided them, and the culture still said, "You have to offer hospitality." This is pretty funny. "When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, gave thanks, and he broke it and gave it to them." And then verse 31, "Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And then he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were our hearts not burning within us when he talked to us on the road and opened up the scriptures to us? And it was dark at that time. And anyway, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem," 7 miles in the dark, with bandits on the road, by the way. They found the 11 and those with them assembled together, saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen, and he's appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when they broke the bread, an image of communion. Isn't that awesome? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you again for this gorgeous day. We are so grateful for all of your gifts, and some of the best ones are absolutely free, just like salvation. We thank you for Jesus, that he is our risen Savior and Lord. And Lord, as we talk about the scriptures today, this post-resurrection story, 40 days after you rose, we pray, as we always pray, that you would give us eyes that see and ears that hear everything the Spirit of God wants to say to our individual hearts this morning, as well as a church family. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name, saying amen. So obviously last week with Easter, we talked about the vital importance of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, because without the resurrection, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, we're still lost in our sins and without hope. And that's why I find it really strange and ironic that there are so many people today, including some people who name the name of Jesus, who think the resurrection from the dead is a secondary issue. It is not, right? But if we're really honest, maybe we aren't so different from Jesus' hand-picked disciples, right? They remembered his parables, his powerful miracles, but they failed to remember what the angels at the tomb had told the women. who later reminded Jesus' disciples, Luke 24 earlier, the Son of Man, Jesus, must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and then raised from the dead 3 days later. Right? The resurrection of Jesus is so important that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, right? Remember this? If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But here's the good news. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. And so we can say every day of our lives, there's a reason why as Christians we worship on Sunday. Because every Sunday is like a mini Easter, right? That's the thought behind it. Not just on Easter Sunday, we can say, as they've said from the early church times until now, remember, he is risen. He's risen indeed. But I confess, I too don't always live with the full knowledge and remembrance of this earth-shattering truth. Many of you are probably in the same boat as I've been, right? You could say that some of us, or many of us, struggle with spiritual amnesia. Spiritual amnesia. And I think worse yet, some struggle with spiritual senility. Is that PC to say? Senile, right? Some of you know, have heard of the Serenity Prayer. It's used in recovery. And by the way, if you're a Christian in this church, you're in some form of recovery. I don't do heroin. No, but you're a jerk every other day of the week. How do you know that? Are you a prophet? No. I talked to your wife. The Serenity Prayer. Have you heard of the Senility Prayer? It goes like this. Lord, grant me the senility to forget the people I never liked anyway, the good fortune to run into the ones I do like, and the eyesight to tell the difference. We're talking about spiritual sight today, people. You know, you cannot afford spiritual amnesia in your life. The resurrection from Jesus from the dead is an absolute game changer for humanity. But do we remember that? Do we believe that? Now, I was smiling because it happens every year in almost every church. After Easter, people are just tired. And just kind of, and it's always a slow Sunday afterward. And I was just laughing. The kids who were all pumped up on sugar because they got into their baskets before church, right? They were just kind of dragging today. I was like, oh, this will be cool. They won't be banging around up there or whatever. It's, you know, it's just, it's that part is predictable, right? I was reminded this week how easy it is to be busy and to crowd out the truths that are so important, that change our lives, like the resurrection from the dead for Jesus. And the thing is that Easter doesn't end that season. Again, 40 days of Lent in preparation, there are 40 days of Jesus' appearance after the fact, and reaffirming these truths, reminding and equipping his disciples to be witnesses over all the earth. That's why I do refer to Mosaic as a church. We are a church, a spiritual family, but we are a mission center. If you're not on mission, if a church isn't on mission, it's not a church anymore, really. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that Jesus did was reinforce the truths and the power of God's word, the scriptures. Again, these are called post-resurrection narratives, stories about Jesus showing up suddenly, appearing to his disciples and followers after the first Easter morning. Or, speaking of spiritual amnesia, or physical amnesia, are we like the old man who told his doctor, "Hey, doc, I'm having a hard time dealing with my short-term memory loss." You've seen this happen in people's lives. And he said, "Oh, on top of it, there's a second problem, doc. I'm having to deal with short-term memory loss." Might as well have some fun with it, right? This is true in the spiritual life. It's important, it's of vital importance that we remember that Jesus was raised from the dead, but we also need to spiritually see and perceive Jesus and his movements in our everyday lives. That's what I want to talk about today, the Emmaus Road story, the post-resurrection appearance of Jesus. Now, the Gospels are really clear in those stories after the resurrection, right? That that Jesus appeared to his disciples and to other followers on multiple occasions after that first Easter morning. And in nearly every one of those stories, you will notice something. They were dumbfounded and spiritually shocked to see Jesus. Isn't this telling, right? Why are we surprised when we see Jesus or when you see Jesus moving in your life in some important way, working in your life? Do you know, as a follower of the resurrected Jesus, that should be the most natural thing of all things in your life? Of course Jesus works in my life. People will think you're crazy, but who cares, right? Why are we shocked that Jesus is alive and well? Why are we amazed when he comes into our lives, when he asks to spend time with you, right? Why are we dumbfounded when Jesus can show up whenever he pleases, right? Now, maybe part of it is we as Americans are pragmatists, right? Pragmatists, we like things that are practical, predictable, applicable. That's just part of our general culture. I remember asking a Dutch professor, one of my doctoral theology mentors years ago, I said, as a person from the Netherlands, what strikes you as unusual or unique about Americans? I knew this could go any which way. And he looked at me and smiled and said, this was insightful. He said, you Americans are obsessed with how every single thing works. You got to know how it works. You got to know, right? You never simply accept anything. And I thought, oh, that's pretty profound. I'm an American. I want to know how everything works, right? I want to see and experience things for myself. It's very American. Now, that could be a very good thing, but what about those times when I don't see something? When I don't just get something, right? And I have to do it myself. We can't rely on anyone else unless it's true for me. It's not true. That could be a big problem, right? Or worse yet, what if we have problems with our spiritual eyesight and our spiritual memory at the same time? That could be a big issue post-Easter. Kind of like the time when a 75-year-old man came home in tears to his wife. It was that time in life. And he said, I'm giving up golf. I just can't see the ball anymore after I hit it. And his wife had a solution, said, why don't you take my brother with you golfing? Your brother, he exclaimed, he's 85 years old. And she said, yes, that's true, but he has excellent eyesight. So the man thought, okay, here's a fix, here's a patch. We like that as Americans, don't we? Took his brother-in-law with him. He teed up and he hit the ball into the fairway. And he said to his brother-in-law, did you see where the ball went? Of course I did, said the older gentleman. I, unlike you, have excellent eyesight. Fine, wise guy, where did it go? He said. And to his great dismay, his brother-in-law said, I can't remember. Just think back in your own life. How many times someone wanted to show you something, but for the life of you, you couldn't see it? Couldn't see it. Maybe more significantly, how many times before you had faith, you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord in your life, someone tried to talk to you about Jesus, but you just couldn't see it or get it, right? Now, one thing that Christians find out soon is that many people with whom we try and share about Jesus, they don't see it, they don't get it, they think we're weird or something like that. They might think that we're making up stuff and we're just seeing things, right? Oh, those Christians, they're weird, right? As we come to this story, this post-resurrection story, Luke 24, it's sort of the same thing. Two disillusioned followers of Jesus were making their way to a small village in Emmaus called Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem on that first Easter Sunday. It must have been a terrible and a long walk for them, 7 miles, right? Think about it. They had previously seen Jesus. They thought they understood Jesus, but how wrong they thought they had been, right? Have you thought about it? I mean, we enjoy Easter, you know, and you could say hindsight is always 20/20, as they used to say. But did you realize that for most of the early disciples of Jesus, that first Easter day was awful? It was terrible. It wasn't a fun day. I mean, when was the last time you walked 7 miles? You got a lot of time to think over stuff and to talk over stuff, and they must have talked about the previous week a lot with one another. And of course they must have thought, what went wrong, right? They had seen Jesus's mighty miracles, right? They had heard his powerful preaching and teaching, but he was crucified anyway. And isn't it funny or ironic that oftentimes when we are at our lowest as people, as believers, that is so often when God moves in our lives. I know all of you have testimonies about that. The strange thing is oftentimes we don't see it, perceive it, or recognize it. And that's what happened to these two downcast followers of Jesus. When they were at their lowest and most confused state, verse 15, check that out. Jesus came and walked alongside of them, right? And they didn't get it. Man, people who don't have a sense of humor, are they reading the same Bible as I am? Because this story proves it, I think, right? They had seen Jesus die. They didn't recognize him. He showed up in a moment in a place that they would have never expected. Isn't that funny? Anybody ever show up and you're like, ugh, you know? You didn't expect it. I once surprised my dad when he was alive. I decided to go back to Michigan to celebrate his birthday and set up the ticket, and I didn't tell him. And he was out in his advertising office, and I just walked in, and he was at the typewriter or whatever, and he turned around, and you would have thought he saw a ghost. I was like, hey, Dad. And he was like, and it's pretty hard to make my dad jump. But I think that's kind of what happened here as well. They certainly didn't expect it. Well, I thought about it this week, and this reminds me of a time many years ago when one of Deb's country cousins, I'll say, was over at my in-laws for a visit years ago. And this was funny. They started complaining about all those born-again Christians in his new wife's family. I'm like, oh, I'm going to have fun with this one. He and his wife did not know that I was a Christian, and I was the worst one. I was a pastor, for that matter. And they went on and on about how strange Christians were, ending with, well, you know what they're like. And I was like, I had a moment. I'm like, no, I don't. Do say more. And they did, right? They continued on and on about how Christians were always talking about Jesus and how they're completely out of their minds and out of touch with reality. And, you know, I never told them they were wrong, right? Never said anything, didn't respond. Didn't tell them that I'm the worst kind of Christian out there, evangelical Christian pastor. I figured, you know what, they would see the light someday. Won't this be fun? And I heard about it, and they did. A few months later, they found out that I was a Christian and a pastor, and I heard they were mortified. And I was just smiling. And it was like, you know, you might as well have fun with things. Jesus did, didn't he? Don't we see that in this passage? That's what Jesus is doing. This post-resurrection story is made more hilarious by Jesus playing along with the two followers. They probably saw him die on the cross, but Jesus, being extremely wise, clever, having a great sense of humor, gave them enough rope to hang themselves with, as they used to say. Jesus never lost an opportunity to preach the good news. He decided not to reveal himself right away. You know, just like so many of Jesus's pronouncement stories, his parables in the Gospels, Jesus saves sort of the punchline for the very end. Well, sight is a funny thing. Kind of like the time when a snake went to an optometrist's office and said, Doc, you gotta help me. I can't hunt anymore because I can't see. And the doc said, don't worry, we'll take care of this problem in a jiffy. And so he fitted the snake with glasses, right? And it seemed to work out. And the doctor decided to call him a week or so later and just to see how it was working. He said, Doc, the glasses are working fine, but now I'm being treated for depression. And the doctor said, good heavens, why in the world are you being treated for depression? To which the snake cried, because I just realized I've been dating a garden hose. Sight, it matters, right? Perception, yeah, kind of a bad dad joke. Seriously, look at these men's testimony. Bible's open, verses 19 through 24. They said Jesus was a prophet, powerful in word and deed. They had hoped that Jesus would save the nation from the Romans. They were even more bewildered by the report of the women that said that Jesus was alive. But in truth, they really had not seen the meaning of Jesus' life and divine mission. Verses 25 through 27. They don't tell us which part of the law or the prophets that in the Old Testament that Jesus used to correctly explain to them these things. Even though they heard his words, they still couldn't perceive that Jesus was in their very midst. Verses 28 and 29. This is interesting. They offered Jesus hospitality. They were required to in that culture. I mean, Jesus just upbraided them, call them stupid and foolish and whatever, and like, I guess we got to invite this guy to dinner. We don't have that problem in our culture, right? I'm not having dinner with this guy. Called them slow of heart. It was only when they communed with Jesus that they saw and recognized Jesus. This is part of the point, that he was with them, right? In his very presence, physically present. One of the things you can probably tell about this post-resurrection story in Luke 24, it really has to do with spiritual sight, right? People can physically see the miracle and did physically see miracles and mighty deeds. People could hear the words of truth and life from Jesus. They could even have Jesus physically walk alongside of them. But unless they spiritually perceived these things, unless they could commune with the risen Jesus, they might as well have been as blind as bats. I've heard Christians say, well, you know, if I saw a miracle of God and Jesus, I would believe. No, you wouldn't. They didn't, right? This is a perception thing. Now, in these days after Easter Sunday, the question is, are we foolish? Are we slow of heart to believe everything that Jesus said and did? In the end, we're not really much different from these two early disciples of Jesus, I think. Many of us fail to see Jesus in our lives for one reason or another, usually because we're distracted, usually because we're focusing on other stuff. We fail to hear sometimes Jesus' call in our lives, right? For many of us, our spiritual senses are weak or undeveloped. That's what one of the many things we try and do in this church is help develop those spiritual senses, right? Among many other things. How many times did Jesus say in the gospel, this is why I pray it almost every week, let those who have eyes, let them see, those who have ears, let them hear. This is a perception thing. Right? I remember at a previous church of employee, I used to sometimes pray the Lord's Prayer or certain psalms, and I used to get hate mail. Stop praying canned prayers. Like, I thought Jesus told this is how you should pray. I thought the Word of God, is the Word of God canned? It's interesting. Some people don't like that. You know, again, hearing Jesus' call, hearing his words. You know, you probably heard this before, but the distance between here and here is about 18 inches. That's it. But unless it goes from here to here, you might as well be standing on the face of the moon, looking out. It's that far. In fact, it's farther. I mean, we can go to the moon and not get Jesus. I remember, I don't know where I read this, but When the men landed on the moon back in the 69 or whatever, the President of the United States actually said, this may be the greatest day in humanity. And you know what Billy Graham did? The greatest day is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, amen? Oh, well, you got to say that, Billy. You're a preacher. No, it's true. Do you believe that? Do you perceive that? Do you understand that? We can know a lot of things about Jesus in the Bible. I know a few things, but unless that moves from my head to my heart, it's not going to do me much good, is it? Probably won't do you too much good. I mean, might be good in Trivial Pursuit. Is that still a game played? Am I dating myself? Like, I know stuff. It's good to know stuff, right? Is it? Does it matter? Maybe. I don't know. Now, during the pandemic, remember, I met any number of you who had gotten the coronavirus, and a couple of the telltale signs, remember these, was loss of physical senses, like smell and taste. Some of you are still struggling with those. I know people who didn't get it all back, right? That's like kind of tragic. The point is physical senses, spiritual senses, right? We know we have five physical senses. Now, if you've ever lost one of those senses, you feel loss, right? But it can also be gain. I think, who was I talking with this morning? At Sunday school. Someone who lost their sight. That was Susie, yeah. Lost their sight. Ooh, but blind people know stuff. Have you noticed this? Have you ever spent time with blind people? Why would I spend time with blind people? They can't see. It's like, dummy, you can't see. They just know stuff. They perceive stuff because now they're leaning on four instead of five is the idea. I've shared this before, but I did this before and I started doing it before. When I used to live in New York City, during rush hour, looking for the subway underground, people are always clamoring, there's not enough subways, and you're waiting, and people are shoving. I would just hang out and stand behind blind people. It actually worked, right? And I kid you not, it was strange voodoo mojo magic. Not really, but you know, here comes the train, I'm just standing right. I know they knew I was by them, and just right in front of them. They go in, I go in, and everybody's clamoring for a spot. Worked like a charm, right? Spiritual senses, physical senses. You know, the Bible talks about spiritual senses, right? Psalm 34, I like this one. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That could actually be a literal thing if you think about it, really. Question is, post-resurrection, post-Easter, Jesus is risen. How can you improve your spiritual sight as a Christian? How about your spiritual hearing, your spiritual memory, right? As people age, there's all kinds of things you can kind of do. They say things like that stimulate the memory or the mind. You know, it's like some people do the Sudoku kind of thing. Any of you do that? My mother is great at that. To me, I just want to throw it in the fire. But there's other things to stimulate, to stay not in the game, but to actually be very intentional, I think. Again, I say it ad nauseum, reading the Bible and praying every day, that's your daily bread, right? Because it has to do with Jesus. Coming to church weekly, right? One of the things I've learned as I sort of moved out west, Christians are far less committed to weekly church attendance. I think there's a cultural thing for that, whatever, rugged individuals, that kind of thing. Now we've just given more excuses because it's like, I'm worshiping God online. Kinda. We keep the live stream for people who are sick or shut in or watching, like my mom 2,000 miles away. I'm sorry, Mother, I'll never do another blonde joke in church. Ooh, that got me in trouble. 2,000 miles away, strange technology. But we can keep learning is my point. You can serve others. Be the hands and feet of Jesus, as we sometimes say. Could be something else. What I'm asking you to think about and pray about is just to pray about it. Think about it. This isn't a thing where I gotta do something more. It's like, no, you get to focus on the living Jesus. You know, things that might help you more deeply commune with the resurrected Jesus. Because one of the takeaways of the Emmaus Road story is this, to commune with Jesus is to truly see Jesus. What's interesting about that story is that once these two men perceived and saw, oh, it's Jesus, he's gone. They don't need him physically there anymore, right? Jesus says in another post-resurrection story in John, right, to Thomas, right, doubting Thomas, you know, he represents every single one of us. You know, unless I see Jesus' wounds and put my finger in the hole, I'm not going to believe. Jesus said, hey, come, Thomas, come, do it. And he's like, oh, okay, my Lord, my God. Okay, Jesus says, you know, unless you saw with your eyes, you weren't going to believe. But blessed are those who haven't seen me but yet believe. That's the powerful message, I think, before us today. It's not enough for our hearts to burn within us, as the scriptures say, on the road to those two disciples. Fine feelings and spiritual feelings are great. Don't get me wrong, I like those, but they will not sustain you. No more the feelings will sustain a lifetime of marriage, right? They come and go, right? Oh, this is fun. Can we be done? It's not enough to burn within. You have to commune with Jesus. We must commune with Jesus as often as possible. If we ever hope to be able to say like these two disciples from the bottom of our hearts, and they said, "What? How does it end, verse 34? It is true, the Lord has risen." And so Easter doesn't end with Easter. That's just the new beginning, people, right? After all, that's early Christians have been saying it since the beginning. We continue the tradition. We say, "He is risen." And you say,
"He is risen,
risen indeed." Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you again for this beautiful day you've given us here in the Bitterroot Valley. Your gifts are so good, and the best ones are free. Kind of like salvation. Salvation costs you, but we receive it free. But knowing that, Lord, is that after we receive it, it will cost us everything in our lives, ultimately. And so, Lord, we do ask for spiritual eyes that see the resurrected Jesus. We do ask for spiritual ears to hear his words of life. And so, Lord, we just thank you for the freedom we have to be in this time, in this place, to worship you, to commune with you and others as a spiritual family. We're so grateful, Lord. We give you thanks and praise in the name of the risen Jesus, saying, amen. Amen.